Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Tom, co-founder of the Warner Edwards Distillery. We've won HSBC's Elevator Pitch Competition, helping us to expand and grow our company. We're passionate about our business, and it's great to see HSBC is too.
We approved 89% of business loans in 2015, and with £10 billion to lend to small businesses in 2016, find out how HSBC could help take your business to the next level. Search HSBC Business Bank. Based on lending approvals in 2015 for loans up to £300,000, subject to credit status.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Nuptial episode 11.
Episode 11. We've been doing this. We have 12 episodes on the list, but one was just a crossover from the Nerd Party.
Our first episode.
It was our first episode that we've ever done together. And now we're doing, this is episode 11. How does that make you feel? That does it feel like we've been doing this forever? Does it feel like it hasn't been 11 episodes?
It doesn't feel like it's been 11 episodes.
No?
No. Although I have a really bad memory when it comes to stuff like that, so.
So for all you know, we could have been doing this for years.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, yes, it's episode 11. Thank you guys so much for downloading, listening, subscribing, everything that you do for us. We have some amazing news, and it's all thanks to people like you, to listeners like you. And no, this is not a PBS pledge drive. We broke the top 100 in TV and film on iTunes.
It's so cool.
How great is that?
I feel like every episode we're like able to bring really cool news, like about our show, which is just awesome.
I mean, America has spoken. I can't say just America. The world has spoken. They love the girl. That's what I hear whenever I see us rising on the lists. But seriously, it is all thanks to you guys. It is absolutely 100% thanks to you guys. All your interaction, whether it's via email, on the website, on Facebook, on Twitter, you guys are the best. I feel like we have some of the best audience out there, and you are the sole reason why we broke the 100. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Now, speaking of great listeners, we need to talk about, we have a few new reviews.
Yeah, we do.
We have one in the American store from Intra86. And I love the review. They gave us a 5-star rating, and I love the review. There was one sentence that really caught my eye. It was, they're smart, respectful, and maybe a little crazy.
It's probably true. I mean, yeah, it really is.
If someone said that at my funeral, that
he'd be okay.
He's smart, respectful, and maybe a little crazy, I'd be like, dude, put that on my tombstone. I think it's a great way to describe someone.
That's awesome.
And also, we have one from the UK store, from Irish Truck Fan. Irish Truck Fan is a friend of mine on Twitter, big supporter of the show.
Awesome.
He loves the show, big supporter, always listens, and what he did was he wrote a review, waited for it to come up, took a screenshot, and then sent it to me via Twitter, because he knows that we don't have access to other overseas iTunes stores. So if you guys write us a review, like it's in Spain or Russia or wherever, let us know and we'll mention you on the podcast. You got to email us at contact@thenerdparty.com, or you can find me on Twitter @theinsanerobin. And one other thing that we can tell the listeners about is Audible.com. They're a partner of ours. I use Audible. You use Audible. Your parents use Audible.
It's true.
We love Audible. There's over 180,000 titles of audiobooks to choose from. You can use it on your Kindle, your Android, your iPhone, wherever you listen to podcasts even, you can listen to Audible. And if you use our link, audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial, you can get a 30-day free trial and a free book of your choice. It's completely free. Both things are free, and there's no commitment, no whatsoever. It's a great deal for the listeners, and it's just for you guys. This is not for anybody else. It is just for you guys. And so we thank you for doing that in advance. Now, there's a few things that we're going to talk about today. Few things. But right off the bat, I think we need to talk about what we've been watching this weekend.
Well, it's really been a stressful weekend for me, so we really needed something to, like, wash over our our minds just so that we could like laugh and have a good time. And The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt came out just the other day, and so we've already almost finished the entire season. So,
well, we're
two away or something.
No, I think we're a little bit more than that. I think we have like maybe 4 or 5 episodes.
Oh, really?
I think we're only on episode 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's 13 or something like that. I kind of want to talk about this stressful week because it ties into another podcast.
That's true. And I feel terrible about it.
You shouldn't feel bad about it.
I feel so bad. Okay, so we are doing Mary Poppins at my school, and I'm the director.
Yes, yeah. People who don't know,
yes.
You are a theater teacher,
right.
And a theater director.
Right, so that's my job, and I pull really long hours in the spring, and we call it theater play season.
Play season, yeah.
We call it play season because it's like basically you take over the house duties.
I cook dinner, yeah. I clean the house.
Yeah, we share everything, basically.
Yeah.
But you take care of me during this time because I'm always at work. So we're like flying the actors, which has been really cool. We have this massive set. And I went to go do this thing called a cue-to-cue, where as you move the set pieces on and off stage. And as we moved the set piece, it collapsed.
It split in two.
And I had a little director freak out, and it was like I was kind of like in this zone where I was like, am I dreaming? is this like the director's nightmare? Because I've had those where I like dream and in nightmare state of like what could go wrong with the play. And yeah, that was, I mean, as close as I've ever gotten to real life hardcore nightmare status there.
And you're 2 weeks away.
I'm 2 weeks
from
away
from the show date, and
right.
the set was just finished.
Just finished
the night before.
Right.
And it took a long time because it's a very impressive set. It's
yes.
a very big set.
It's a house. We built a house.
Yeah, you would not guess that this is a high school set. This is amazing. it's great work, but something went wrong. Some crossbeam didn't get placed in
or
something.
Yeah, and it just split. And it was just a nightmare. And I can't use any of the set pieces because they're not – I can't put kids on them.
Yeah.
So I – texted you and I said, I need you.
Emergency.
Emergency. I need you here. Even if it's just for some moral support, I need you here. But I also knew that you were used to, like, we took a scene shop class together in college.
Yeah.
So we have some background to somewhat troubleshoot these problems.
And my dad's a carpenter.
Right,
and,
exactly. Yeah. So you had some, you know, knowledge to do that too. But I was just like, I don't know what to do anymore.
And when you sent me that, because first you called me and I couldn't pick up.
Because you were in the middle of a podcast.
I was in the middle of the podcast. That's why we're telling this
yes.
long story, is because I was in the middle of the podcast. I was recording the Senate floor, and it was the first episode of its kind. We had, it was me, Matt Hansen, and Lee Hutchison for the first time together, all three of us. And we were doing a movie commentary on Captain America, the Winter Soldier, in anticipation of Civil War coming up
soon. And you were so excited about doing this. And I knew that you were right in the middle of it when I called. I think it was probably, you started at 11.
Yeah.
And I probably called or texted you around like 12:30. Maybe
it was,
12.
It was earlier.
Really?
No, you're right. It was around 12:30 because we got started a little late because we didn't start recording till like 11:20, 11:30,
okay.
something like that.
And but it was live to tape, so it's like one of those situations where, crap.
That's the thing, is like you during a commentary, you can't cut anything out because
exactly.
if you cut anything out, you cut out the time and it doesn't match up with the video.
Exactly.
And so...
And two other people are relying on you.
And so I felt so bad because just apropos of absolutely nothing to the listeners and to the other hosts, I said, hey, sorry guys, but I gotta go.
Which I greatly appreciate because I don't think we could have gotten it done without you. And I deeply apologize to the listeners on the Senate floor and Matt and Lee because I needed you at that moment. You needed to be the theater husband. And I'm so glad that you actually did come. And I kept texting you being like, no, don't come. It's okay. It's okay. But, you know, internally,
I
know internally I'm just screaming inside and needing just needing you there. But you were like all over that set with, you know, your drill and
well,
helping the kids.
Very often, like as a nerd and as like I'm a video producer. My job is I'm a video producer. And the most that most physical I get in my work is I carry some lights. That's it.
Right.
And so this, the opportunity to build something and create something. And like, I mean, I just helped out, but it was really satisfying. I feel like we as nerds, because I feel like a lot of us nerds have a lot of desk jobs. I feel like we sit on our butts all day, and I can't speak for everybody.
No.
You know, like I there's a lot of my nerd friends. I mean, they have jobs like I do, you know, like, you know, some are paralegals, some do accounting, you know, like, you know, some do hiring, you know, and everything like that. And we exist online, you know, so like we're on our phones or we're on our computers, but it was just coming home sore and coming home knowing that I physically built something, not just like building a podcasting network or making a really cool video. That's still building something, but physically building something.
Like you can see it on stage.
Yes, you can see it in real life. It was really satisfying. And I definitely recommend it to the listeners who, like, if you have a desk job or if you don't have a creative outlet, try building something. Like even if it's just like something as small as a chair or like a dog bowl for your pet.
Why would you build a dog bowl?
I once built a dog bowl holder, I should say. I don't know why I said dog bowl. Because my dog was getting old.
Oh, okay.
And so like he couldn't put his head down so far. And so I put it on a stand.
Well, now that makes me sad.
Yeah, okay. You should feel bad. So there you go.
Yeah,
you
it
made
is
fun
sad.
Of my
it's
dog
sad.
Bowl holder.
I'm sorry. It is satisfying. And it's really a good experience for the kids. And so, I apologize, listeners on the Senate floor. It was a crazy weekend, that being said. It ended that we, you know, felt really accomplished.
We were victorious.
Yeah, we were. We got everything done. And
yeah, you came to me and you're like, sweetie, you know that we're going to be here all night.
I know, I did.
That, right?
I said
and we got
that.
Out at 5.
It's true. It's true. We worked our butts off.
Yeah, all thanks to the kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, now that you guys are up to date.
I was going to say, so the reason why I needed something to wash over me and just laugh and, like, I needed that feel. You know that moment when you're like, I need that feeling of laughter? Like full body shake laughter? Well, luckily, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt came out this weekend because I think that was, like, the perfect medicine for all the stress that was going on in my work life.
It really was.
Right?
You know, like, because there's... You and I have sometimes very highfalutin movie taste.
So we're pretentious sometimes.
Yeah, our friends and family would say we're snobs, we're pretentious.
Sure.
And we've talked about this on the network before. But
we accept it.
we accept that. Like, but the thing is, I feel like so many people are that way, where, you know, like they have high movie taste. But we're just like everybody else in that sense, because sometimes you just need a popcorn movie. Sometimes you just need a stupid sitcom. Like, not everything has to be Shakespeare. Not everything has to be, you know, like, made by, you know, like, David Fincher. You know, like,
right, or make you even think.
Like, yes.
I think that's the thing, too.
Is that, so we're not immune to that. We're not those kind of snobs.
Right.
And Kimmy Schmidt was perfect for that. Now, before we start talking, because we're not all the way through with season 2, but before we get into that, I would like to talk a little bit about season 1.
Yeah.
Because it was originally supposed to be an NBC show, for those of you who don't know. And
it feels like it.
Yeah, it was created by Tina Fey and I think Robert Carlock or Carlyle, something like that. They did the show together. But the thing is, NBC, I think they rejected it after, like, they ordered the pilot, but then rejected it. But then Netflix picked it up. And they were actually, as they were producing it for Netflix, they were able to add in more scenes that they originally had to cut out because there weren't any commercials. And it's about a woman who was locked up in a bunker for 15 years with 3 other women because of a religious zealot. And then she gets out.
Who's John Hamm, which is just hilarious.
Which is hilarious that he was the reverend.
Yeah.
And it's played by Ellie Kemper, who is Erin on The Office. And it's about her trying to find herself in New York. You know, that she has this whole new world and she's a little off. Because, you know, she was in a bunker for 15 years, and now she's our age, I think. Now she's 30.
Yeah, and all her references are super old.
Like, from the 90s.
Right, because that's when she went into the bunker. Hilarious.
And, yeah, and she got a gay roommate, and he is amazing and fabulous.
He's, like, my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, he's one of the best parts of the show. And so, and the hijinks that ensue. And the show, the first season was really good. It was a really solid season. Until we got to, like, the last 3 or 4 episodes.
Like, we said, like, the courtroom stuff.
As soon as we got to the courtroom stuff where they actually put the Reverend on trial for what he did to them, it just got... All the jokes fell flat. It wasn't funny. It was off the wall. It was always a little off the wall, but it was so ridiculous, it wasn't funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so ridiculous, it was so outside of the realm of possibility.
It felt a little disjointed from the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, if you watch the first episode and the last episode, you wouldn't think they were the same show.
Well, I mean, that
might be an exaggeration.
Maybe an exaggeration, but I feel like it was a big change. Yeah. You definitely could see the change throughout.
But with season two, I feel like, again, we're not all the way through it yet, but I feel like we have a little bit more consistency in season two. There are still some episodes where you're like, those weren't too good. But I was actually just talking about this with your mom about how even though with other shows, you can say like, oh, that was a bad episode or that was an annoying episode. With Kimmy Schmidt, if you can say that was a bad episode, but there's like four or five jokes within that episode that make you fall out of your chair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are certain, and it's not even necessarily what people say. It's like how they react even is just making us laugh so hard.
I think that's the thing, is that the visual facial acting in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is really top notch. The physical nature that Ellie Kemper gives and that Titus Burgess gives is just like Titus Burgess makes us laugh just by him blinking.
Yes.
Like literally there was a scene where he just looked at a librarian and blinked five times really, really fast. And I had to pause it because I was laughing so hard.
It's hilarious.
So I guess, you know, like it's a good show. I wouldn't say it's a great show.
Yeah, it's just silliness.
Yeah, it's just pure silliness. It's a lot more like 30 Rock than it is The
Office. It does feel a lot more like that. I totally agree.
Well, because, you know, it's Tina Fey.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Tina Fey creation, and you can very much tell that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sadly, Tina Fey is the worst part of the show because she has a couple of episodes in season one, and now she's a different character in season two.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. I mean, we haven't gotten through her whole story arc yet.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reserve a little bit of judgment, but at the same time, so far, I have not liked her character at all.
She's probably
you know who's the worst character so far is that Mimi character.
Mimi character, yeah. She was in, for those of you who don't know, she was the lead in Strangers with Candy on Comedy Central. You know, she had a wig and like fake teeth and everything like that. She was barely recognizable. She was funny on that, but just every time I've seen her post Strangers with Candy, all the guest appearances that she's done, it's just...
She seems out of place. She always seems out of place whenever.
She's always yelling for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, there's good things about the show, there are bad things about the show, but overall it's a very pleasant experience. I mean, you turn your brain off, you just let ridiculous... If you just expect ridiculousness to happen, you're going to have a good time.
It's true. It's true. And it was just, like I said, perfect for this weekend because I just wanted to turn my brain off.
And as soon as we're done here, we're probably going to start it up again.
That's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to finish the season today. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, well, what else came out and happened? The Doctor Strange trailer.
You mean Inception 2. That's what you mean.
After I saw that trailer, I was floored because as I'm watching it, I'm just like, okay, they use the same kind of music cues as Inception.
It's the same like beat.
The same beat as the trailer. They have the boom, boom noise.
It's so true.
But the thing is though, is that ever since Inception, a lot of trailers have been having that same kind of structure and the boom and everything like that.
Because it was
like
pretty awesome.
Because it was hella awesome. Yeah, it was, I don't know why I just said hella. I don't even use that word.
I was going to completely ignore it, but
I admire your restraint for ignoring that. I feel like I'm a 1990s guy wearing a mesh t-shirt from SoCal.
Maybe you've been watching too much Kimmy Schmidt.
Maybe that's what happened. Yeah. Anyway.
I don't remember her saying that, but
so
let's go with that excuse.
That's the name of the episode. The Inception trailer was hella awesome. But a lot of trailers have done that style. I mean, whenever you get a popular trailer style, people are gonna copy it. But the thing is, what clinched it was that they had cityscapes folding on top of each other.
I know. They even had like the world breaking apart.
Yeah.
Like in
Inception.
Inception. And they even had the Asian influences.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the sets that we got. So it was like, really?
Now, here's, like, really? To be fair, you know, like, Doctor Strange does have a lot of Asian influence in the comic book.
Yeah, and I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it just added to the comparison in my mind.
If it was just one thing, no one would mention it. Like, like the folding of the cities, if that was on its own, people would be like, oh, that's kind of like Inception. But we wouldn't say, oh, that's a rip from Inception. But it was all of these things added up.
Yeah.
And I immediately went and grabbed the Doctor Strange poster and then grabbed the Inception poster and made a blend of the two and called it Inception 2. But apparently, I was not the only one who thought this. So thankfully, we were not the only ones who thought this.
Yeah, seriously.
Because it was Doctor Strange was trending on Twitter. And right underneath that trend of Doctor Strange, it said Doctor Strange Inception.
That's hilarious. I mean, how does that get past, I don't know, like the executives of being like, isn't there someone out there that's like, hey, you know what this reminds me of? Inception.
Yeah. You know that director, what's his name? Frank Nolan? Was that his name? Yeah, something like that.
Right?
Yeah, it's just, Inception was a wildly popular movie by a very famous and good director, so it's not like they were ripping off some indie film that we don't know about.
Right.
I just don't get it. I don't, like...
And not that long ago, let's be honest.
It really was, what was it, 2011? Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was sad because I know that Marvel can stand on its own two feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Marvel's Marvel. They're doing just fine. So it was really confusing to me that they would just do a ripoff like that. I don't think the movie is going to be anything like Inception.
Yeah, and I could even, I mean, I'm sure there are certain things that will be like, oh, yeah, I can totally see Inception in this.
Right.
But it's not going to be the same storyline.
No.
It's not going to be the same, you know, influences. You know, it's just not.
I have a feeling it's going to be like a mix between The Matrix and Batman Begins. That's kind of the feeling that I got.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, because listeners, I know nothing of Doctor Strange. Absolutely nothing. I just know that he does magic. And I remember it was, the Marvel execs were trying to get us used to the idea of magic in the cinematic universe because they tried to introduce it in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they were aliens, so, you know, like...
Your mind allows it more when it's aliens, I think.
Exactly. But then Scarlet Witch came in to Avengers Age of Ultron, and she uses pure magic. I mean, I don't think they call it magic, but that is what she's doing. And then I think they're going to completely, like, they have to utterly embrace it with Doctor Strange.
Right. So, I mean, I guess it's smart, though, if they've kind of slowly influenced it so it's not a shock to their system.
I think so, too. I think, you know, Marvel knows how to make movies. They know how to ease us into things. They know how to build the universe and build the world. And I applaud them for that.
Just like Inception, where you build the world.
In your dream.
Exactly.
See, that's the thing is that Disney and Marvel know how to make trailers. That's why this shocks me. Yeah, they went a little overboard with Age of Ultron, but they know how to make a good trailer.
Yeah.
And like, look what they did with Civil War. They haven't given anything away,
mm-mm.
But yet they've sold us on the story. They sold us on the action. It has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. And the trailer just blew me away. It got me more excited for that than Age of Ultron. And then you have Doctor Strange where it's like, meh.
I didn't really feel like meh, if that's how we're feeling. I just kind of felt like I was constantly comparing it. So that's what the aversions were. We're like, ugh, this feels exactly like Inception.
You're right. Then
you're immediately like, why are you copying?
Well, okay, as a good friend of mine, Craig Sorrell, says all the time about trailers, is that this is the best you can do. You have your marketing people throw out the best stuff from your movie. And it is your job to give us the best stuff without giving anything away so that you put butts in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm starting to think more and more like that, where, come on, guys, you know, like, do your research, figure out what's been done, figure out, you know, like, so that you're not copying anybody else. Make sure that you don't give too much away and put the butts in the seats. Because here's the thing, is that Marvel has a fantastic track record of getting relatively unknown characters into the zeitgeist, like with Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man.
Sure.
And now Doctor Strange. I mean, yeah, amongst us nerds, we all know those names. We all know those titles, but the general public doesn't. Guardians of the Galaxy made tons of money. Tons and tons of money because it was a good story and it was a good film. And I'm sure Doctor Strange is going to be good too. But the thing is, though, is that I know nothing about him, so I'm just kind of like, why? Do we need this movie? And this trailer was supposed to convince me otherwise.
That's true.
And it didn't. Not because it wasn't good content or I'm not a fan of Benedict Cumberbatch. I had to think about his name for a second. It's just because I asked the question why, and this trailer didn't answer it because of the comparisons with Inception.
Well, that kind of brings up for me how trailers have changed throughout time and how now trailers are so heavily judged. I think they're probably equally judged to the movie themselves.
You know, I think you're right. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we as the nerd community see trailers and judge trailers and let us influence us, because it's really funny. We were watching, watching some Hitchcock film a while back, and we went to the special features on the Blu-ray, and it had the trailer, and the trailer was like 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, holy crap, what's going on? And then we watched the trailer. It's literally Hitchcock standing in front of the camera going, good evening. Here is the picture I'm going to show you. That was the worst Hitchcock accent ever. But like, he goes through the movie beat by beat.
He basically tells you the entire movie that you're about to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah.
Like preparing the audience for exactly what it was, like a special.
Yeah. It was like a TCM special on the movie.
Right.
And it was like, oh, here's a special featurette. But it's just like, at the beginning of the picture, Janet Leigh does this, you know, like, and then later on, Cary Grant comes in to save her.
And he'll have like little quips as he speaks about it and whatnot. Yeah.
It's like, look at her eyes, ladies and gentlemen. Aren't they fiery? You know, it's you know, stuff like that. And if that happened today, people would go, well, I guess I don't need to see the movie now.
Right. And well, sometimes I watch a trailer today and I'm like, wow, I really don't need to see the movie because I give too much away.
Mm-hmm.
But we judge that. Is what I'm bringing up is that we immediately judge that movie based on our trailer so heavily that we trash it before it even comes out, or we are like so excited that it builds up our expectations too much that when we go, we're so disappointed.
It's so true. I feel like it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. We're all thinking it. Okay, we're all thinking it right now. Batman versus Superman had some really great trailers, really exciting, and then they ruined it with that second. It was either the second or third trailer. I can't remember which one. And they just gave so much away.
And they also showed some stilted performances, and then they got that backlash of people being like, "Oh, it doesn't look as good."
Yeah.
And then they gave out that next trailer, which was a lot better, and it was just interesting how nowadays, you know, the more we complain, we do make an influence, especially on trailers.
If that trailer didn't have such a negative backlash, I don't think we would have gotten another one.
Yeah.
I really think that would have been the final trailer. I could be wrong, but I really do think that they were trying to, it definitely felt like an apology, an apology trailer. But the thing is, it's like glass, you know, once it's broken, you can't repair it.
It's true.
And so after that trailer, even though the third one was great and showed us more of Batman kicking ass, it was still like, sorry, guys, you already told us the entire plot.
Right. And I even think about showing Spider-Man in the latest Civil War trailer.
Yeah.
But it has to be because people were complaining and being like, is he going to be in the next trailer? Is he going to be in the next trailer?
Here's the thing. A lot of people complained that and said that they shouldn't have put Spider-Man in there. I understand that. I'm not saying I agree. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm kind of indifferent on it. But the thing is, though, the sheer fact that they included him in the trailer, at the very, very end of the trailer, all people were talking about was Spider-Man. That is all anybody talked about when the trailer was released. There was photos of him all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over the geek sites. It was everywhere. And I guarantee you, if Spider-Man was not in that trailer and it was, oh, we need to wait for the movie, that trailer that they produced, that final trailer, would not have gotten anywhere near as much buzz as it
did
with Spider-Man. That's
true. And I mean, I'm sure that's a strategy. You know, let's reveal this character at this time so that we get back in the public's eye.
And also, Lee Hutchison ruined it for me. It was released for like 5 minutes. It was released for 5 minutes. And then I go on Twitter to find it. And then boom, he posts a picture of Spider-Man. And I'm like, God dang it, Lee.
That's funny. That's really funny.
But yeah, it was a definite marketing strategy. And like, whether you agree with it or not, it worked.
Oh, yeah. Because guess what people were talking about?
Exactly. Now, Do you remember in the 90s when we started? I feel like
when I was a wee lass.
When a wee lass and a wee lad. This kind of goes through ebb and flows and peaks and valleys and everything like that with trailers. You know, there's trends, there's styles and everything like that. And I remember, like, we got really esoteric in the 70s where you're like, what the hell is that movie about? You know, like, we don't even know. And then they started over-explaining in the 80s a little bit. And then they kind of, in the late 80s, they had, like, just mindless cutting and action. And that's all that they were trying to sell is the vibe. And then when we got to the 90s, they started over-explaining again.
With the voice? With the announcer voice?
Yeah, with the announcer voice. Yeah. Like, in a world
yeah.
where Jennifer Aniston can't find a man. You know, like stuff like that.
Right.
That happened a lot in the 90s. And I remember there was a backlash. And please don't make fun of me, but when Godzilla came out, the one with, Hank Azaria. You know that one?
Yeah.
And Matthew Broderick, that yes, Godzilla.
Yes.
They made a point not to show the monster.
Oh.
Like, not to show Godzilla. They would show his tail.
Yeah.
They would show his foot, but they wouldn't show his face or like a big chunk of his body. You only saw like 20% or even 10% of his body at a time. And a lot of people were talking about it. They're like, oh, they're not showing the monster. You know, they're not showing it. So, you know, like, what does that mean? What is he going to look like? Well, you know, you never saw it in any of the merchandise or anything like that. And so it got people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was a horrible movie. Very horrible movie. And it was not worth the celluloid that it was printed on. But the trailer got people talking because we kind of reintroduced the idea of not giving away everything.
Yeah. And I do feel like we go through peaks and valleys of that, of where, you know, we go back and forth. It's like a pendulum of we show too much or we show not enough. Or, you know, like I think we've talked about before on the show, we have the teaser to the teaser type trailer.
That's a new thing.
And I feel like it's almost getting out of control. I feel like we have so many trailers by the time the movie comes out that, like I said before, our expectations are either realistic or way too high, or I don't know. Like, I feel like we've seen so much leading up to it that why can't we just kind of wait and see the movie?
I miss those days. I mean, as much as I love the internet, as much as I love the community, and I love being able to watch trailers over and over, go over again at my whim, I miss the days of going into a theater and seeing a trailer I've never seen before.
Yeah, that doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't. And it's my own fault.
We have one friend who actually does, he like, whenever we talk about a trailer, he like says, I don't watch trailers.
Really? I don't remember that
friend. One of our friends does that. And we're like, really? You don't want to see this trailer?
Oh, I remember now. Yeah,
yeah.
That's weird. No, that's weird.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he lives online like you do, but...
Sounded a little like a dig there, but it's cool. It's cool, whatever.
I'm just saying that, you know, some people want to, but they would have to actively try not to see a trailer.
Yes,
nowadays.
That's true. Yes, nowadays you have to actively try not to see a trailer.
Right.
But I remember going to the theater as a child and I'd be like, oh, holy crap, they're coming out with a Jurassic Park sequel. Or, you know, it's just like, I didn't know they were making that movie.
Right.
You know, there's so much excitement and you didn't know until it got made or until it was in post-production. And because you didn't, like, I didn't read the trades, you know, like there was
right,
no such thing as the
right.
internet. Nowadays, we know when people are talked to about coming on to the movie. Like just the other day, like there was an announcement that Michael Keaton was in talks to be the bad guy in the next Spider-Man film. I was like, if we're
in talks. Right.
Okay. If we get down to that nitty gritty of a level of involvement in the filmmaking process, you know, what hope does any movie have when it gets released?
Yeah, I feel like I know it won't calm down, but
no,
I wish that it did, because I feel like what, you know, those days where we only had one trailer, those are completely gone. And I don't feel like it was that long ago.
Well, we've always cut. I shouldn't say always, but for a very long time, for as long as we've been alive, we've always had the two trailer model.
Okay.
It's the teaser trailer,
right,
which just is supposed to excite you.
Right.
About the film. And not really give too much away. And then there was the trailer, the full trailer.
Right.
And that actually explains the story. And now we have trailer one, trailer two, trailer three, trailer four. And like you mentioned before, we have the teaser to the teaser where it's 15 seconds or just one shot saying, oh, trailer dropping tomorrow. Just drop the trailer.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Oh, it's absolutely craziness.
And I feel like, you know, if it has, we judge it on so many different factors. So we judge it on the music choice. Mm-hmm. We judge it on the performances that we see, the action that is revealed.
And music that's not even going to be in the picture.
Right, right.
Most likely.
Exactly. One of my favorite trailers is the Watchmen trailer, the Smashing Pumpkins song.
Oh.
I love that trailer so much. I didn't even really like the movie that much. I mean, it's okay, but that trailer is awesome because of the beat and just the way that the cutting. And I think we judge it on all those things.
It's true.
You know, and even like the one-liners that we get from the trailers. And so it's just so many factors that it's almost like this unrealistic expectation.
So whose fault is that, do you think? Do you think it's the movie makers, it's the studios, or is it ours?
I think it's a combination because if they didn't give enough trailers, then we'd be screaming and being like, oh, we don't have enough. It only can serve the studio if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because, again, like you talked about with the Spider-Man deal, we're in their minds.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they're constantly thinking about fan reaction, not just upon, it used to be, like, upon movie release. Mm-hmm. Like, how are the fans going to react to the movie? Now it's, how are the fans going to react to this poster? How are the fans going to react to this trailer?
It's one of those things where it's just becoming a little out of control, I feel.
I think so, too. I think it's a little weird how much influence all this has. I mean, I'm in marketing, and right. So I can't talk too much, you know, crap about it, because I recognize that it's important, it's needed, and not everybody can do it. You know, like, people think that monkeys can do this, and they can't. Like, it takes strategy, it takes skill to navigate the waters of millions of people. And
hey, I've watched Mad Men. It's cool.
Like, you know what's what.
I know what's what. You know, I totally understand the whole world because, like, of that.
I know how to fight. I watch Rocky. But yeah, it's I think the studios cater to us, but we also give them that power.
Oh yeah.
Because we're screaming for it, but they also give it to us.
Exactly.
So, like, if we screamed for it, but they didn't, and they just went back to the two teaser trailer model, then there's literally nothing we could do about it.
It's true.
Just complain.
True. Well, it kind of goes back to our conversation about the petition. You know, it's one of those, it's this cycle of, yeah. You know, they give us the power to, you know, help them, or not necessarily help them, but influence their decisions because they want to give the public what they want. But sometimes, is that a good decision? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's really funny that you talk about that and bring that up, because just the other day I was on a Star Trek website and I was reading about the new show, and it went down to the comment section, which is my own fault.
I was going to say, why would you do that?
I don't know. It's because I'm a glutton for punishment. but I went down to the comic section, and this guy was saying, he's like, it's absolutely, like, he said, CBS needs to stop pissing people off. I was like, I can't believe that we don't even have a poster, we don't have a trailer, we don't have any kind of news yet. And I'm like, what do you expect? They haven't even written it. They haven't even written it yet.
For real?
Yes, they've been having production meetings, pre-production meetings. There's no script. There's no casting. There's no art direction.
Wow.
There's nothing. It's coming out next year.
Wow. Yeah,
and people are complaining.
Here's the thing.
I'm getting a high voice. This is what you guys are doing to me.
Well, first of all, you should not read comment sections of anything.
I know. It's my own fault.
Because that's where crazy people live. But I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where studios, I'm sure, feel like, okay, well, we do one thing and then, you know, they complain, and we do the other thing and people complain. So there's no pleasing everyone.
Yeah, that's what the internet does. It complains.
Right. And I mean, but at the same time, you're fans. And so I'm glad that there's a voice.
It's a double-edged sword, because I love the nerd community. I freaking love you guys. If you're listening to my voice, I love you. I think you are a beautiful human being. And I love nerds so much, because we analyze trailers. We comb
through
trailers.
Well, what are we doing
trailers.
Right now?
Yeah, this is what we're doing. We do podcasts about trailers.
Right.
You know, and because we're so in love with stories.
Absolutely.
We are begging for more and more stories, whether it comes in Netflix form, cinema form, TV form, it doesn't matter, internet form, it does not matter. We want stories. And so we're so obsessed with them that we will go shot by shot. I mean, I released
a shot by shot analysis of Rogue One
on the nerdparty.com. Oh, speaking of which, nerdparty.com is down right now. So if you're listening to my voice, it's probably down. Ugh, problem with the internet companies. It's a horrible mess that I'm not going to get into, but it will be back up by the time we have the next episode released. If you're looking for a back catalog, you can find us anywhere. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, everywhere. You can also go to our temporary website at thenerdparty.weebly.com. That's weebly.com. So what I was saying is that, you know, like, I love you guys. We analyze trailers and we make movies fun. And
absolutely.
We, like, because we love movies so much, you know, like, it makes the companies step up their game.
Absolutely.
In producing
content.
Think about
all the energy and the excitement that comes behind, you know, these nerd-focused movies. I mean, we talk about them on our podcast. We are definitely going to go to them. We talk about them all the time. You know, I just feel like, you know, you want to be served as a fan. You want to be appreciate it as a fan, but I feel like there's sometimes expectations that just cannot be met.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's why I'm saying it's a double-edged sword, is that, like, the studios need to up their game because we demand so much, but at the same time, maybe we shouldn't demand so much so that we don't. And it's not for the sake of the studios, it's for ourselves, because as you said before, you know, like, it may taint our idea going into it, because if we invest so much in the trailer and we go to the movie and it's not the best thing that we've ever seen because it was the best trailer that we've ever seen, we're going to be disappointed. And the only person that hurts is you, because the company already has your money.
It's true. It's true.
Like, if you're seeing the movie, they have your money.
It's true.
And that's why I'm saying it doesn't hurt them. But, you know, repeat viewing, word of mouth, whatever, whatever. We can get into that later. But I think that's the main thing that I want to bring up, is that, you know, like, it's cool to analyze trailers. It's cool to be jazzed about trailers, just like we were jazzed with Rogue One.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, I don't want to go into Rogue One thinking it's going to be better than A New Hope.
Right, right.
Because it's not going
to
be.
Or if they don't do certain things, then I'm going to be angry or
that's a
something
key
like
thing
that.
Right there. Like, especially with, like, speaking of Star Trek, you know, when the Star Trek Beyond trailer came out, there was a huge backlash in the nerd community because they thought it was all action all the time and, you know, no substance, because it's directed by the guy who did the Fast and Furious movies. And I understand that. I get where you guys are coming from. And when I first saw it, I was just kind of like, okay, you know, I guess it feels a little different. But, you know, like, I wasn't really jazzed. But then I watched it again, started thinking about it, started thinking about the concepts that they were playing with. And I was like, wow, okay, maybe I'm okay. But there are some people who just that initial reaction from that first teaser trailer. And a teaser trailer is just supposed to get you excited about the movie. It's just, it's not supposed to give away too much about story. It's just about action and adventure and everything like that. But some people were just like, boom, done. No, I'm done with it. I'm not going to go see this movie because it is not the trailer that I wanted.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a fine line of being a fan and having expectations of a franchise that you love so dearly. And at the same time, just being happy that there is a movie coming out with the franchise that you love so dearly. You know, I think that there's something to that.
I think so, too. I mean, I think I was able to make peace with it because you guys know that I did not like Star Trek Into Darkness. I've talked about it several times. I did not like it. But I was happy it was made.
Right.
Because the franchise is ongoing.
Right.
Things are happening.
Well, same thing with the TV show. You're excited that it's happening.
Absolutely. I am so excited that the TV show is happening. And if it's in the JJ-verse, it's in the JJ-verse. If it's in the Prime universe, it's in the Prime universe. If it's in something completely different, that's cool too. It's just exciting because it's Star Trek.
Right.
And just because it's not exactly what you want it to be doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. Because think about how many different opinions are out there.
Right.
There's not just one opinion when it comes to Star Trek. There's not just one view. And this goes for Marvel, DC, everything out there. Just because they don't cater to your exact specifications doesn't mean it's not going to be a good movie.
Exactly.
And it's just another thing, like with the Star Trek show, since you brought it up, you're like, I see people.
Oh, I got you on this.
I know you got me on it. But like, I see people online who are like, if they don't have this, I'm going to be pissed. If they don't have this, I'm going to be pissed.
And they have like a checklist.
They have a literal checklist of dozens of things, literally dozens of things. And I'm like, how are they going to live up to that? Can't you just say, I'm excited for a new Star Trek show? And then if they produce it and you don't like it, you don't like it. But do not set them up to fail.
Well, and I think that's part of it, is that I feel like sometimes as nerds, we do set them up to fail, because there's just no way for us to be satisfied with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just life.
That's just life. I mean, that's just how it is. And yeah, I mean, I think that's good to end right there. I don't know what else we could say.
It's just life.
It's just life. No, it's like we're saying, we're not trying to be negative. What we're trying to say is that we are what drive the studios to excel. We are what drives the studios to do better and give us the best content they can, because there's so many choices out there. Like, if Marvel does a horrible job, there's another company that we can go out to. If DC does a horrible job, there's another company we can go out to. If Star Trek does a horrible job, we can go to Star Wars. If Star Wars does a horrible job, we can go to Star Trek. There's so many choices. It's not the 60s anymore, where we have CBS, ABC, and NBC. You know, that we have so many choices. And so we drive them by demanding excellence to make them give us excellent content. But at the same time, we need to demand excellence, but not set them up to fail. I think that's, if we could wrap what we're saying up into that little bit.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think the other part of it is that trailers have changed so much over time, and with, you know, how easily accessible they are, we have so many more now, mm-hmm. which kind of does set us up to sometimes feel like there's a failure there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like we said, we love to analyze trailers. We love to look forward to what's going to happen in that movie. Like, we just talked about, you know, Doctor Strange, yeah. You know, and kind of like just talked about how, like, wow, I'm kind of surprised that looks like Inception. But, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just kind of one of those things where I feel like, let's let it happen and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing, is that, like, I'm not going to turn off from Doctor Strange. Because I know nothing about him, and so I have zero expectations. And the trailer hasn't told me yet, but maybe the next one will. I'm completely open to that. And I feel like we as a nerd community need to go back to that. We need to go back to our openness.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go back to the wonder, to the excitement, not just the criticism and the analysis.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We'd love to know what you guys think about this. Like, what are some of your favorite trailers? I have my list. You know, like the Watchmen one is way up there. And I think the X-Men 3 trailer, you know. Like,
oh, that's a good one.
I really like that one. I like really rhythmic trailers.
Yeah, you
that's
do.
What I really
well,
like.
Well, when you were in editing, you used to always do more rhythmic trailers.
That's
and
true.
Stuff
Cut
like
to
that.
The beat. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was so thank you guys. Just let us know. You can let us know what are some of your favorite trailers. What do you think about the direction trailers are going? And as a nerd community, do we put too much emphasis on trailers? You know, just let us know. You can contact us at facebook.com/thenerdparty. You can also go to our website. Remember, it's down right now. It's normally thenerdparty.com, but if that's down, if you go to it and it's down, just go to thenerdparty.weebly.com. That's weebly.com. And you can also find me on Twitter at the Insane Robin. And, you know, like, if you're interested in other types of conversation, we have two other shows on the network. We have Aggressive Negotiations, which is a great Star Wars podcast. I cannot tell you guys how great this Star Wars podcast is, because it's different. It's not your normal Star Wars podcast. And we have The Senate Floor with Matt Hansen, Lee Hutchison, and me. It's a general geek podcast. Now we're starting to do commentaries. We also got Top 5. And so I just think that whatever you want, you will be able to find it on our network. And make sure to go to audibletrial.com/nerdnuptial. There you can get a free audiobook of your choice, and you get 30 days free trial. And it's going to be a good time no matter what. No requirement, no nothing. And make sure to leave us a review, and you'll get mentioned on the podcast. And I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I think we should watch more Kimmy Schmidt.
Let's watch more Kimmy Schmidt, because you know what? I love you.
I know. Unbreakable, they alive, damn it. It's a miracle. Unbreakable, they alive, damn it. With females all strong as hell. Unbreakable, they alive, damn it. It's a miracle. Unbreakable, they alive, damn it. That's going to be a fascinating transition. Damn it.